Father, as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine into our hearts, illuminating our minds by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Bring revelation, knowledge, and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's topic, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, this is a prayer. We're going to do more of a prayer kind of thing. After a short exhortation, I want us to pray. And a little background to this lesson. We pick up this story in Exodus chapter 33. And of course, Moses has been through all the stuff that he's been through with Pharaoh, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, bringing the people out of Egypt, you know, wandering through the wilderness, getting past the Red Sea and all of that. I mean, just tremendous miracles and all the great things that the Lord has been doing, you know. And here we see Moses asking the Lord, yet that the Lord would accompany them into this journey. The Lord promised that his presence would go with Moses. Moses responded and said, well, if your presence go not with me, then don't even take me away from here. Carry me not thence. Now, that's a good prayer, even by itself. You know, if the Lord will not go with me, then I better not go. Praise the Lord. You know, we know that the Lord is always with us wherever we go. But sometimes the Holy Spirit might say, don't go there. And that's something we got to learn, to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow. Now, we've been talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit and all of that. And I encourage all of us to be more and more aware of the Holy Spirit. Let's not say something said more so when it is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not a something. You know, I hear people say all the time that, well, they're thinking about something and they're about to do this or that, and then something said to them. No. Holy Spirit. Let's acknowledge the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that's guiding us and leading us. The Holy Spirit many times spoke, as we see the record in the early church, when someone's about to do this or the church are doing that, the Holy Spirit would speak and so on and so forth. So let's acknowledge him as such. But let's pick up this prayer in this conversation, you know, between Moses and the Lord. Now, you know, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll start at verse 11 of Exodus 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So we see here that the Lord spoke with Moses face to face. And some of you may have heard me say this before, but face to face, you know, as unto a friend, well, that's about the best they had back then in the Old Testament. Today, by the grace and mercies of God, Jesus has taken us beyond that kind of relationship. He wants to dwell in us, and we in him. Until it becomes a, you know, union between us individually and the Lord. One on one. Not that he's here and I'm there. See, when you're speaking with your friend face to face, it's still he's there and you're here. There's still some gap in between. But when you are one-on-one with the Lord, it's no longer he's there, you're here. It's where he is, there you are. You know, your friend may not always be wherever you are. You know, but the expectation and where we're going in this series of walking with God is to get to the place where we are one-on-one with him, united with him. You know, so, and he's dwelling in us. We are dwelling in him. It's no more, he doesn't have to look for us. We don't have to be looking for him. We're in him. He's in us. Hallelujah. Well, so Moses, but, you know, Moses had a tremendous access to the glory of the Lord. Way back from chapter 3 of Exodus on Mount Horeb, when first the pillar of fire in the burning bush appeared to him, and he turned aside to see the great sight. From that point on, when the Lord spoke to him, he had a tremendous series of experiences, the power of God, and all of that demonstrated throughout the land of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea and on into many parts, you know, in their journey as they were trying to go to the promised land. But here, despite all of that, here's what Moses said. He said in verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also, you know, said, you have found grace in my sight. So Moses is going to plead his cause here. I say, look, you told me, you gave me this mission, but you haven't actually told me who you're going to send with me. Moreover, you told me you know me by name. And you also told me that I have found favor in your sight. Well, so Moses is going to capitalize on that now. Say, now therefore I pray thee, if indeed I have found favor in your sight, then show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Well, you know, after all of that experience, Moses is still praying that I may know thee. And he's going to pray yet another prayer in a minute. Show me thy way, he said, that I may know thee. And the Lord said to him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And Moses in turn responded and said, Lord, if thy presence go not with me at all, then don't even carry me away from here. Carry me not thence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be, now notice, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Why? Because the Lord doth go with us. So that's the difference. What's going to give them an advantage is the presence of the Lord. What's going to give them the separation is the presence of the Lord. Well, that separation started in Egypt. God began to call them out and call them forth. And he began to make a differentiation between them and the people of Egypt, you know, and so forth. And Moses is capitalizing on that here. And then he's going to say this in verse 18, which is where, okay, well, let me read verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, he said, look, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. So, second time the Lord telling him. Or one more time the Lord's telling him. And Moses says again, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, this is our exhortation today. This is where it's taken from. And so my question is, you mean all that power, all that demonstration of power in Egypt, calling out things, turning water into blood, calling out flies and locusts and frogs and darkness all over the face of the earth and all kinds of things and, you know, lies and everything all over the place. And the power of God and even the parting of the Red Sea, that spectacular miracle. And the cloudy pillar by day and the glory of the Lord in the pillar of fire by night. All of that. Are you kidding me? And still saying, show me thy glory. Well, yeah. This man wanted more. See? He wanted more. He wasn't satisfied with the miracles. He wasn't satisfied with the signs and wonders. He wasn't satisfied even with the pillar of fire phenomena. He wanted more. Show me thy glory, he said. Well, Moses has already seen plenty of glory by this time. He's already seen the glory of God on Mount Sinai. I mean, the glory of God was so much on his face when he came down, you know, after receiving the commandments, that the people could not steadfastly look upon him. And his face was shining bright for the glory of God. He's seen all of that. But he's not satisfied. I want to see your glory, he said. Show me thy glory, Lord. I beseech you. Well, that kind of yearning and thirsting and hungering after God, you know, that's going to move God to do something. Well, so the Lord said, well, you want to see my glory? Well, sure. But I'm not going to show you my face. Not at this time, at least. But here's what I'm going to do. Go stand over here. And so forth. He gave him instruction. And I'm going to let my glory pass by. You want to see my glory? I'll let my glory pass by. But you'll only see my back parts. Whatever the reason the Lord said that, spec known to him. Well, no man will see his face, he said, and leave. So he's going to shroud that, but he's going to show him his glory because he asked. So the Lord proceeded to show Moses his glory, just like Moses prayed. Well, that's a prayer we're going to pray in this room today. But let's see the encounter that Moses had as a result of that prayer. You know, so we might, you know, get some expectation of what we might also receive or experience as a result of similar quest and prayer. In the next chapter, after God gave him instruction of what to do, where to go stand, and so forth, here's what the Lord said. You know, the Lord descended. Here's what happened. Chapter 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So here's the Lord proclaiming his own name. This is not Moses proclaiming the name of the Lord. This is not anyone else proclaiming the name of the Lord. This is the Lord proclaiming his own name. And so here's what the Lord said. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Now, that's how the Lord chooses to address himself. Merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Well, all of this has to be part of the glory of God because, you know, that's what Moses prayed for. So whatever revelation that God is giving him here has to all compound into the glory of God. That's what he asked for. I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Well, the Lord did descend and proclaim the name of the Lord. So number one, you know, let's break this down. You know, what do we see that God is showing Moses here as a result of his prayer, asking to see the glory of the Lord? Well, the first thing we see is when the Lord passed by, he proclaimed his own name. Now, so that begins to tell us something, that the name of the Lord, for us to understand it, to know it, to receive it, to walk under it as our banner, that's part of his glory. That's right. It's part of his glory. It's kind of like a king and a kingdom. The name of the kingdom, the name of the king, sometimes, you know, maybe synonymous. And, you know, that name also represents their glory. And you saw in the olden days how the kings, how they used to do their conquests and all the places they conquered. Well, they put their name on it. It's part of their glory. Hallelujah. So, the name of the Lord is part of his glory. Well, let's see some other things that are part of his glory here. Well, the attributes that the Lord presented about himself, those have to be part of his glory. Because he's answering Moses' prayer. The first thing he said is merciful. So we see that's a great, great part of God's glory. It is the glory of God to demonstrate mercy. That's right. He enjoys, you know, showing mercy. In fact, look at all the things he said about himself before he gets down to his severity. First, he said merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So you might say, well, you know, people say put your best foot forward. Well, you might say the Lord put his best attributes forward, you know, and he talked about his mercy. That's the first thing. And that's the greatest thing about the Lord, you know. And I remember also that, you know, when God gave Moses instructions about setting up the sanctuary and setting up the temple and everything, in the most holy place, the highest point, when you traverse from all the way from the profane place to the general court, go into the holy place and then go into the most holy place, tucked away in there somewhere is the mercy seat. But that mercy seat is sitting over the ark. And the Lord said, there will I meet with you from above the mercy seat. So we see that that's one of his, it's got to be, I mean, tremendous attribute of God, which is part of his glory, to show forth his mercy first thing. So if we receive the mercy of God, we don't have to deal with his severity. But because he's a righteous God, well, if you don't receive his mercy, well, you're going to have to deal with his severity. Well, his severity is revealed here where he says, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Well, you know, he put it out there. But before he said all of that, he put out his mercy for thousands and so forth, his loving kindness, his long suffering, his forgiveness of iniquity and all of that. And that all of that has to be part of his glory, because that's what Moses asked for. And that's what God was showing him. So if you have never considered what really is the glory of God, well, God is redefining glory here for Moses. You know, he said, well, my glory comprises of my name, my mercy, praise the Lord, my graciousness, my long suffering, you know, my being abundant in goodness and truth. All these things, it's all part of his glory, because that's what Moses asked for. Now, Moses again, of course, you know, he's a man that knows how to take advantage of the situation. Again, he said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, you know, and he begins to say some other things, but I'm not going to go that down. I'm going to just focus on this prayer of, Lord, I beseech you, show me thy glory. There was a man also called Paul, you know, and in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was talking about that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I mean, Paul had seen tremendous miracles. He'd experienced an encounter with the Christ on the road to Damascus. I mean, he's seen a lot of things. And yet he says that I may know him. This is my quest. Well, Moses said here also, show me thy ways that I may know you. and show me how to deal with these people and so on. And in all of that, he also said, show me thy glory. So we're going to pray in a little bit. In this line of prayer, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, if we think we've seen something, we haven't seen anything yet. There is something that Jesus said he gave to us. In John 17 and 22, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, he said, the glory which I had with you from before the world began, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Well, you know, in this case, Jesus brings another angle out to this glory. You know, this glory, I mean, why must he say, or why did he say it the way he said it in this prayer? You know, and let's take a look at the prayer. Go with me quickly to John 17 and 22. And let's see and analyze what he said in that prayer. Here's how he said it. He said, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them that, and that's a conjunction the way it's used there, they may be one even as we are one. Now, in this case, Jesus is showing the purpose of giving us his glory, to bring us into oneness. You know, and that's a deep subject, and I think I will go into it someday, but not today. On today's room, we short. But the glory, you know, that I had with you, Jesus said, I have given to them. Furthermore, he said, you know, that they should be one as we are one, I in them, thou in me, and so forth. Now, no more, you know, face to face, but one on one. I mean, inside, he's in us, we are in him, and all that. That they may be made perfect in one, that the world may believe. I mean, so this thing that Jesus is talking about, its intended impact is to demonstrate to the world that Christ was the anointed one that was sent. And that you have also loved them, he said. So we know that he has loved us, even as the Father loved the Christ. Father, I will that they also, look at this prayer, it's a beautiful prayer. You're just always wanting to share his glory. Father, I will also that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. Jesus is praying, Father, show them my glory. Let them behold it. Let them be where I am. I've given them that glory. Cause them to experience it. Hallelujah. Which thou hast given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Well, we can pray that prayer too. I can pray and say that the Lord loved me before the foundation of the world. Because Ephesians tells us that. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that we were chosen in Christ, you know, before the world even began. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So we see Christ giving his own testimony. We see the Holy Spirit through Paul giving testimony about the rest of us here, that and the whole purpose was that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, because he has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's all about his glory. I mean, everything is about his glory, you know, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. You know, and so show me thy glory, Lord. It's a prayer we're going to pray today. But I will give another aspect of that prayer. Lord, teach me to seek daily thy glory. And one time the Lord asked me a question. He said, is it for my glory? You know, because, you know, I was praying about some things. You know, I mean, like, well, we want the church to expand. We want this and that, you know, and so forth. The Lord said, well, is it for my glory? And I said, well, of course it is. Of course, he asked the question again. Is it for my glory? You know, that's it. That's the question right there. Is it for my glory? I mean, the things, whatever it is that we want God to do, is it for my glory, the Lord says? Are we really looking for the promotion of the glory of God? You know, the glory of God, the works of God, and so forth like that. That's what it's all about. So we're going to go into prayers right now. I want us to pray, everyone that's in this room. And if you don't understand any of this, perhaps because you're new to the faith, well, it's really simple. You know, God is the God of glory. This God we talk about is the God of glory. And he wants us to share in his glory. That's right. You might say, well, God said, you know, my glory will I not give to another, neither give my praise to graven images. Well, he did. And that was then. That was a long time ago, and he did actually say that. But I tell you what, he turned around in Christ, and he said something, you know, far more beautiful. But it doesn't contradict that too. Because now, if we are in Christ, we are part of him, so he's not really giving the glory to someone else. The church is his body. He's the head, you know, we're part of him. You know, so if we get the glory that he's giving to us and we are wrapped in his glory, it's not like it's really given to someone else, you know, but we must seek the glory of God. Isaiah 42 and 8 said, I will not give my glory to another, neither my praise to graven images, but God, it has pleased the Lord to share that glory with us. What does that mean? Well, that means that when we are focused on things being for the glory of God, and the glory of God would manifest through our lives, in our circumstances, and so forth. God always gets the glory. That's what it's all about. Now, the Lord, one day he said, Father, you know, glorify thyself, for the hour is gone. Well, the voice came from heaven, said, well, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. You know, so Jesus always wanting the Father to glorify, to be glorified. That ought to always be our prayer. When we pray that, Father, show me your glory, it's not so much about, you know, let me do great and mighty miracles so that people may know that I'm a powerful man of God. Well, that's not for the glory of God. You know, so, you know, if the reason we want to do these things is so that people will know that we are great, we are anointed, I mean, you know, and so forth. Well, that's not for the glory of God. But if it is for, you know, if there is a sincere heart that wants to see the glory of God, you know, then, you know, God will show us many attributes of his glory. Well, those were the things he showed Moses. He might show you some other things. Because the glory of God, I mean, look, the heavens declare his glory. You can't number and you can't quantify or describe his glory. There are not enough superlatives to cover all of the glory of God. We do the best we can. You know, there's a song in my Yoruba language that describes how God redefines glory and takes glory from glory. You know, and he redefines, and he can redefine glory for you anytime you want to see his glory. He did for Moses. I don't know what Moses was expecting, but the Lord redefined the glory. You know, so when we pray and say, Lord, show me that glory, who knows? He might take you outside like he did to Abraham, says, look at the heavens. You know, Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, look, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, the Lord may show you some things that are even hidden in those heavens. It's all part of his glory. I mean, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, right? But it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. You can find that in Proverbs 25 and verse 2. So even when God conceals a thing, remember yesterday we covered that in yesterday's lesson, that to know the holy, the knowledge of the holy, is not by education but by revelation. And when Jesus was praying and said, Father, I thank you because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. That's the glory of God too. Because right here he says in Proverbs 25 and 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. So if God conceals it, it's for his glory. But if we are kings in his kingdom, then we must search out the matter. You must search out what God has couched and hidden in that glory. Well, that's what Moses was doing. Show me that glory, Lord. So this glory goes beyond walking miracles, because Moses walked all kinds of miracles. He has done all kinds of signs and wonders. I mean, he has done the singular, most spectacular miracle we saw in that Old Testament, just the parting of the Red Sea. He has done all of that, and yet he wants the glory of God. So the glory of God goes way beyond all of that. It's all part of that, but there's a whole lot more, you know, and to know him is to begin to enter into his glory. Jesus knew the glory of God. And we see that the Father was pleased with him. Coming out of the water being baptized of John the Baptist, the heavens opened up. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We don't see at that point that Jesus had done a single miracle. We don't know what he did around the house. But publicly, there was nothing recorded as of yet. Had he even gone to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil yet? He hadn't gone to the synagogue and taken the book of Isaiah and read it, what was said of him yet? Yet, coming out being baptized, the heavens opened, the glory of God was revealed upon him. And God was pleased with him. There was something in Christ that pleased the Father. And that's his glory too. When we please him, it's his glory. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11 puts it this way. He said, all things were made for his pleasure, for him, and all of that. You know, that's how, you know, all those elders and all those things around all those beings around the throne, you know, they realized that. They said, wow. You know, we've been around this throne for quite a while. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And cast down their crowns. We can't put on any crowns when we're in presence of glory. What's this crown for? They cast down the crown. They said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. Well, everything is all for his glory. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. So let's go into prayers. I pray that the Lord will reveal to you the essence and the spirit of this prayer in asking for the glory of God to be revealed in our lives. And that God may show us his glory. Jesus said to Martha one time, he said, look, didn't I say unto you, if thou wouldest only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Well, you know, the glory of God in that particular situation was to be revealed in the resurrection of Lazarus. That's another aspect of the glory of God. So all these things that God does, they're all part of the glory of God, and then some too. You know, so let's pray. First, I want to pray over the room and say, Lord, I thank you because you are the God of all glory. The Bible says the glory of God went up even with the cherubims and the cherubs and so forth. Some of the prophets, Isaiah, he saw the train fill the temple. Ezekiel saw the wheel turning within a wheel. a fire enfolding itself. They all saw the glory of God. You know, and when Isaiah saw it, he said, my goodness, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah chapter 6. For my eyes have seen the Lord and his glory. Hallelujah. Now, when you really begin to see the glory of God, that's what he does. The glory of God reveals in us our own emptiness. That's right. You know, the glory of God exposes our emptiness. You know, Isaiah said, wow, you know, I am a man of unclean lips. I've seen the glory. And that's what he does. But it's not one of condemnation. It's just one that reveals the magnitude of his greatness compared to our being so little before him. And it's like, you know, you have the rays of the sun shining, you know, bright outside, but the drapes covered it up. And then when you pull back those drapes, you see those rays come into the room, and then you see all that dust flying around. Well, the dust was there the whole time. It wasn't the sun that brought the dust, but it was the rays of the sun that revealed the dirt. Yeah, that's what the glory of God reveals. The glory of God will reveal our own emptiness, and it makes us want him even more. Not of condemnation, but of seeking him for his greatness. So, Father, we thank you for your glory. And we pray first, Lord, for myself. I pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters and everyone that's in this room, both now and will listen to the replay later, that we may understand what it means to seek after the glory of God. Lord, we pray, even as Moses prayed, Lord, we beseech you, even now, show us thy glory from day to day. Even as the heavens declare your glory, let the circumstances in my life show forth your glory in Jesus' name. In my brother's life, my sister's life, I pray that the glory of God be revealed. Hallelujah. The Bible says the glory of God shall be revealed. Isaiah 40. Yeah. And all flesh shall see it together. Well, that's what we are praying about. Let the glory of God be revealed. Let my life be the life of demonstration of the glory of God. The psalmist said, Lord, forsake me not till I've shown thy power to this generation, thy glory to everyone that's to come. Show me that glory, Lord. Let my life be filled with your glory. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to pause here and ask everyone, let's go into prayers. Join me in praying this prayer. You know, after this short exhortation, let's pray that the power and the glory of God will be revealed in us. Not just revealed to us, but revealed in us. Just like Paul said, when he pleased God to reveal his son in me, well, you know, may he please the Father to reveal his glory in us as we begin to seek for that glory. I want you to pray. If by any chance the Lord had given you understanding concerning this exhortation and this prayer, then pray. And if you did not get understanding, then be careful now. The devil may come and pluck it out of your heart. So, Lord, I pray that people receive understanding. And I cover this revelation and this message and this lesson by the blood of Jesus. And the enemy will not pick it from our hearts. And may we truly be in quest, in search of the glory of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to pray. Pray and say, Lord, show me thy glory. And what he shows you may be different from the next person. You know, and just pray with an open heart. You know, and never try to imagine what he's going to show you when you pray that prayer. You don't know. You know, he might reveal something different to you than he revealed to Moses. And but if we pray that prayer sincerely, show me thy glory, Lord. every day. Now, this is also, again, part of our Walking with God series. To walk with God is for us to know Him and to walk in His glory. And that glory must be revealed not only to us, but in us every day. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for thy glory, thy glory, thy glory, thy glory to be revealed in us. Show us thy glory, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The glory of God, it is to conceal a thing, but for us who are kings in his domain, is for us to search out the matter. I pray, Lord, that we will seek earnestly, and that the Lord will be gracious to every one of us and reveal to us that portion of his glory that he wants us to know. He can't know it all. Our minds cannot comprehend all of his glory. But that portion of his glory that he wants us to know is more than sufficient to carry us all the way through and to make us victorious and make us powerful ambassadors for his kingdom. Thank you, Father. Give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.